Last year at this time, Shannon Atkinson was standing on a beach some 10 miles west of Sitka with a team of scientists and volunteers. They were working against a rising tide to recover the bones of a young killer whale that had washed up dead just a few weeks before. She explained then that the skeleton would be transported back to Sitka.
At which point we'll freeze it and then we'll take the rest of the meat off. But the more we can get off now, the less we have to carry. So it's actually out of convenience that we're doing this.
Atkinson is a professor in the School of Fisheries and Ocean Science for the University of Alaska. And today, she's still standing near those bones.
Four seems a little low and a little poking out, and five seems just about right at the top, but then a little too far in down here.
But a year later, the smell of rotting whale meat has been replaced by the smell of glue. The dirty, wet bones are now pristine and dry. And instead of lying in the rapidly flooding intertidal zone of Kruzoff Island, the skeleton's components are lined up on tables inside the Sitka Sound Science Center.
So this is the first rib bone, which is also his clavicle. And if you look, there is a bony growth coming out here. And this had to have happened in utero. This is not the result of a broken bone.
As the team has worked with the bones over the last year, they've noticed irregularities just like that. Those help tell the whale's story. One of the biggest surprises was the sternum, which has made it difficult to put the rib cage back together.
So part of our challenge is to try and keep it lined up, knowing that this whale was very asymmetrical in his sternum. And part of the challenge is because he has a broken sternum just on this one side here.
Atkinson says the broken sternum is likely the result of a fight with another animal, but probably wasn't the cause of death. Scientists believe that was the result of an infection in the whale's abdominal cavity. Keeping the ribcage lined up at the moment is partly the duty of Elena Avery, an AmeriCorps volunteer who's been working with the bones for months. Avery has a biology background, but today her work sort of entails physics. She's standing underneath the partially assembled skeleton. One of her eyes is closed, and she's staring at two pieces of twine that are weighted down and hanging off the backbone.
So I am looking down those two plumb lines, making sure that I only see one, so I know they're in line, and that the sternum is in line with those two strings.
So you're not wincing or anything?
No, I'm not in pain, though I might after standing here for another however long it takes.
Luckily for her, they're moving quickly. 3 days into the job, the backbone and several of the ribs are already reassembled. And just 1 week ago, all of the bones were being photographed and scanned for inclusion in a digital library. And that is the other component of this story. If you're in Sitka, you'll be able to visit the skeleton in person, but eventually, you'll be able to see it anywhere you can get an internet connection. Staff from the Idaho Visualization Laboratory came to Sitka earlier in March to photograph and perform 3D scans of every single bone. Robert Schlater is holding up one of the whale's caudal vertebrae. That's one of the bones that makes up the tail. He gives it a quick once-over with a toothbrush and positions it on a piece of foam in front of a rectangular scanner that's slightly larger than a computer tower. Schlater says the data gathered here through these three-dimensional scans and through standard photography will become part of a project called VZAP. That stands for the Visual Zoarchaeology of the Arctic Project.
Which is a online, three-dimensional and two-dimensional osteological comparative collection for fish, birds, and mammals for the northern latitudes.
In other words, a visual database of bones from animals across the entire Arctic.
We've got things ranging from sea mammals all the way to fish with birds thrown in. And so you can actually look at different types of animals. You can look at the difference between a shrew femur and a fox femur and a squirrel femur, because they're all there.
That's really handy for scientists in the field who need to figure out what they're looking at.
And what we found out was that there are a lot of people who are interested in looking at bones, not just archaeologists, not just faunal analysts, that you've got kids up in little tiny villages up in northern Alaska, in this case specifically Barrow, that are using our online comparative collection every day, every week.
When the orca from Kruzoff Island finally appears in the collection, it will be from the combination of millions of pieces of data. Photographs of each bone will be combined with tiny little points detected by the laser scanner. It will take a few weeks to get it all together, but when it's done, the whale, now called Kruzov, will be one more resource for scientists, students, and you. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.